Please tell us about yourself.
My name is Lawrence Byman. I was born on Thanksgiving Day of 1950. That happened in Longview, Washington, where I live to this day. So I was born and raised here. The majority of my life, we have been members of the Longview congregation. And I've been a widower for over 4 years now. And I think that's one of the reasons why the questions are being asked during this interview, in many ways, have been very, very important, not only in other phases of my life, but especially today at this phase.
What comes to mind, Lawrence, when you think of God's kingdom?
One major word, and that is security. In childhood, there was the security of having a very loving and forgiving home. And then throughout my married life, knowing that there was security here with my wife and my children. And then now in later years, the security that there is in knowing that I am in a very safe place, surrounded by loving brothers and sisters in faith who can reach out, especially in times of sorrow and need. And that has been one constant in my life. I would have to say, even when I was overseas in Korea, there was a security that the other GIs did not have. They sought for all kinds of entertainment in worldly ways, and yet they didn't find the same security that I felt, knowing that I was a believer and that my sins were forgiven. It's really hard to put it into adequate words, but I believe anybody who has felt the love of God's kingdom has been able to feel very secure.
Yeah, and I would say building on that more, there's also that security of knowing that there is an eternal home in heaven waiting for you if you can remain believing until the end. And that's such a strong sense of security if you have that
Exactly.
assurance.
Exactly.
What about, can you share a favorite song or a Bible verse that comes to mind when you think of Zion? Can I explain why you thought of that portion or that song?
I think the one Bible, it's not just a verse, but it's an entire psalm that has been so comforting to me throughout life is the 23rd Psalm. And it's because in that psalm, David so concisely speaks about the Good Shepherd and how he is with us throughout our life when we believe, all the way to the end, starting with the beginning where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and lists all the things that this good shepherd does for us as a believer. And then ending with the in the end of it, that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And that psalm, which is not a very long one, has been one that in many phases of life I've thought of, and it's reminded me that throughout life we don't have to fear, and in the end we don't have to fear. And just a little aside from that, many years ago when there was a real concern about our country getting into nuclear war, a number of my colleagues at school were very terrified, and they actually asked me, "Aren't you afraid?" And I thought about it and I told him, the thought of it is not very pleasant, but I guess I'm not really afraid. And in looking back on that, I think that's one of the things that even in this psalm, we are reminded that no matter what the situation is, the Good Shepherd through faith is there guiding us to the waters, to the green pastures, and giving us support right to the very end of our life. That is something that is only found here in God's kingdom. And I also was thinking about the when you asked about a song, and there are so many songs in our book that have absolutely wonderful words, but one that has been very close to me from the time that my mother shared this with me, and I don't even remember the age that she did, but when my father was drafted during World War II, they knew each other, but they were not a courting couple. But he had shared with her that before he left for the war, in Finnish he sang what in the English book is song number 567, written in 1912. It's my home in heaven waits for me. And he sang that to his parents before leaving. And every time I have been in a group where we've sung this song, it comes back to me how precious it was that even for him, living faith was so secure that with this song, he knew that regardless of what might happen to him during those years of war, his home in heaven waits for him. And it has just been one of those songs that is kind of like the 23rd Psalm. It focuses on that which is most important in our life and in mine.
Yeah, it's so easy in this in our everyday life to become consumed with our cares and worries of this life, but it's a precious reminder that really that which we await is our heavenly home. What has God's kingdom meant to you in different phases of life, Lawrence?
I alluded to some of that earlier, and when I talked about security, but I remember very clearly as a child, my father worked shift work and was frequently working either swing shift, meaning he wouldn't get home till after 11 in the evening, or sometimes graveyard and having to leave in the late evening and work all night. And so frequently, what my mother would do is come upstairs where all of us little kids had. There was one large room in there and a number of beds. And she would read a chapter out of some very good book. Like once she read from the book On to Oregon, a chapter a night. And then after that, we would say prayers together, both the Lord's Prayer and the benediction. And she would bless each other, each of us, to the rest of the night. And it was just a very comforting feeling knowing that when we're going to bed, we were in a very safe home, one where parents loved us and all of the naughtinesses of the day could be forgiven. And of course, our mother always asked that we would forgive her failings as well. And then during the school years, there were numerous times when various things would come up. And I remember I think I was in fifth grade, there was a time when there was a square dance lesson in PE, and I didn't know how to tell the teachers that I don't want a square dance. Well, my mother came to my rescue when she heard what was happening. And I don't think I had even had the strength to tell her, but she came to the school and visited with the teacher, and I was excused from the square dancing. I had to do something else. I don't remember what that was, but so even during the elementary school years, there are those things that would come up that needed the help of a believing parent. And then when I got into junior high school and high school, I met some very nice friends. They were not believers, but they were members of their own churches in town. And so they were living decent and moral lives. And my sophomore year of high school, there were three or four of us that had the same lunch period. And one day at lunch, my two closest friends in high school, obviously not believers, but nice young men. I overheard them talking about someone who didn't think they were going to heaven. And I knew that these two friends of mine were working on memorizing the Bible. They had figured out how many days that they would have to work on it to get the whole Bible memorized. And when I heard what they were talking about, I kind of turned a little bit away from them. We were sitting at long tables, and I thought, please don't ask me. Well, they did. They turned to me and they asked, well, Lawrence, do you believe we're going to heaven? And as I've told my children and others, I thought I was going to choke on my sandwich. I knew what I had to say, and it was a very big struggle to finally get out the word no. And that started the rest of that school year and the next two school years, at virtually every lunch session, questions and discussions. And if it hadn't been for my believing parents, I don't know what I would have done, but I would go home and share with them what they had brought to me on that day. And they would say, well, let's look in the Bible. And so we would open the Bible and find the quote that they had. And we discovered that frequently they had taken it completely out of context. If you read the entire chapter or section that that quote came from, it was very clear that the way they were using it was not the way that God's word was intended. And during that phase of my life in high school, it helped to strengthen me. Being a member of God's kingdom and having believing parents, it helped to strengthen me to battle not just against the worldly thoughts and ideas, but then against these religious thoughts that could, well, there were times when I went home and I thought, am I in the right place because of what they just said? And the word coming from God's kingdom through my parents helped me tremendously during my high school years. And then when I went on to university, I was fortunate enough that there was a believing home I was able to rent a room from, so I didn't have to live on the campus, which would have been very difficult. At the time that I went to the university that first time, there was only one other believer there. Later, in the later years, there were many, many more, but there was only that one other believer. It happened to be that he was one of the people in the home that I got to rent a room from, the Carvenan family. So there, in my high school or college years, having that support, living in a believing home, and walking distance from the old Ballard church that the believers had, was very important. And then my time in the military, I was served a number of months over there before another believer was sent to Korea, and we managed to meet up occasionally, but our work duties were so different that we actually didn't get to see much of one another. But fortunately, with the job that I had, I was able to periodically take a trip to another camp where they had a phone that I could call home when I needed to hear the gospel to reassure me that I am believing and my sins are forgiven. And obviously in those days there were no cell phones, nothing. So we would go to a room and there was a little Korean operator who would take my money and he would dial the thing for me and then transfer the phone to me. And I would have 3 minutes of time to talk, and it's amazing how much you can get in 3 minutes when you know that's all you have. And then throughout my married years raising a family, it would have been, I think, very difficult if we were not members of God's living kingdom, because when faults and things happened, we were able to put them away. And to this day, there is still such love between my children and me and their spouses and Fortunately, all but one are believing, but even with that unbelieving one, there is still love towards me and towards the home that he was raised in. I've never heard him say a negative thing about the home that in which he was raised. And to this day, it's wonderful to be able to still share the gospel with my believing children and their believing spouses. So when I think of all those different phases of my life, the constant that is still there by being a member of God's living kingdom is the security that there is.
And I think you kind of alluded to some of this already in our discussion. There's a question of how have you experienced the care and love of Zion? Are there any other examples that you'd want to share with regards to that?
I think the most wonderful thing has been that when faults have come, my believing children and my believing brothers and sisters here in Longview have been so willing to forgive and to uplift and to encourage and to help along life's way. It's just unbelievable. And I remember one year, years and years ago, I was to give the youth presentation at summer services. And I thought, how can I open this? And the thing that came to my mind, because of being an educator and working with vast numbers of students, most of them, virtually all of them, unbelievers. So I had many believers in my classes. And they would be members of different groups, different clubs, et cetera, et cetera. And the thought came to me that what I have seen in God's kingdom is such a great love for the young people. And I've never seen that in any of those other groups that these young people would belong to, even the ones that were very important and good groups. They weren't ones that were re leading them down an immoral pathway. And I shared that with the young people that in my experience as an educator, having worked with all kinds of young people over the years, I have never found a place where there has been greater love expressed for the young people in God's kingdom and for the children.
So, Lawrence, how do you know this is God's kingdom?
I think the Bible tells us that you know this is God's kingdom because the members love one another. And it's an unfeigned love. It's not one that's just put on. And I have experienced that in my travels. Just this past summer, I had the opportunity to spend a month in Finland again and to be able to visit friends in Finland who some I hadn't seen in years, but there is immediately you feel unity of God's Spirit. And I've had over the years in the various times my wife and I visited Finland, I would have colleagues ask, how do you afford to do that? You have seven children and you're going to Finland again? How do you pay for all the motels and listing all these things? And I said, I'm not staying in a motel. Well, where are you staying? I said, well, I have friends over there who have invited us to stay with them, and we're traveling around the country visiting them, and they're shocked. Even when they hear that we're of the same faith and in the same church, it does not make sense to them because they do not have the same oneness of spirit that is found in God's kingdom. And that has been the most powerful thing. And I told my daughter and her husband this summer, we went early to the summer service site, and they had an Iltahartaus or an evening service in the tent, and it was packed already. And when the singing started, even though the tent is not an acoustical building, the volume of the voices and the oneness with which they were raised in song to the Heavenly Father it felt to me like God's Spirit was just wrapping every one of us in the loving arms of the Savior. And for quite a time, I couldn't even sing. I just had tears going down my face because it was so evident that this is God's kingdom. These people love one another, and the singing was coming from the heart. And I think we experience that so frequently in our bigger services as well, that from the heart is expressed the thankfulness that this is God's kingdom. And just recently, we were fortunate to have the visiting Finnish speaker here, whose father I knew because he had come through the States on a speaking trip years ago and been in Longview. And just from the moment that he said his first few words, they were not foreign. They were the words that we hear in God's kingdom. And I would just have to say that they were the voice of the Good Shepherd. And the voice of the Good Shepherd is heard in God's kingdom. So I don't know if that adequately describes how it is that I know this is God's kingdom, but I haven't seen any other group that has the same type of connections that there are in the kingdom of God. And it's been something that has even somehow some of my unbelieving colleagues who have come for various functions, for example, my oldest daughter's wedding, and there were a number of them who came for my wife's funeral. They have been overwhelmed by some of the things that they have seen. And one of my colleagues told me, "You don't know how fortunate you are to be in the group that you're in." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" And this person said, "I saw love there between adults and children caring for their little siblings." As a matter of fact, the counselor of my oldest daughter, when he saw me the Monday after the wedding, said, "Come in here, I have to tell you something. You need to go back and tell your people in your congregation that they are doing a lot of things right." And I thought to myself, that is testimony alone, even there, that the Spirit of God and the fruits of the Spirit of God amongst the congregation, these unbelievers saw, but they didn't know what it was. It was just that you're doing something, and a lot of them are very good things that you're doing. And so, even in those things, these people have had a glimpse of what we experience. And I think one of the things that the enemy tries to do, at least with me, is to make me take those things that we have for granted and not remember how important the blessings that we have in the kingdom of God are for us in our everyday life.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts and your psalms and your sorrows and your joys with us.
Well, you're welcome, and I hope that anybody who might hear this might find some little piece that would help them in a time of need, because there have been so many wonderful things that I've been able to listen to on some of the stories that people have related of their finding God's kingdom that are on the Hearken app. And those things are just very good and uplifting things that we have access to in God's kingdom.